Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's bow our heads. Father, God, you know what I am. Lord, that's nothing. I pray, Father, that you'd fill this place with the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, that you'd manifest yourself tonight. Lord, I don't have the ability, Lord, to save souls. I don't have the ability to touch hearts. But God, you, that is your job. Lord, I give it all to you tonight, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you fill us with the Holy Ghost and on us. Lord, if I be one in our midst tonight who's never been saved, God, would you save their soul? For it's everlasting and too late. God, speak to us, Lord. I need your touch tonight. Lord, speak to my heart tonight. God, I pray, Lord, we'd leave here tonight fell in love all over again here tonight. Lord, preaching on the love of God. Lord, it's so rich and pure. Oh, God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Amen. I've been fighting what to preach here for the past couple of weeks. And it's amazing how God ordains a service. And even Brother John's up here was mentioning the love of God and how there's nothing greater. And I tell you, well, a lot of times we just need to get back to the basics. A lot of times we get into meetings like this, we try to get a message together to impress the preachers and impress the fellow brethren. I'm telling you, I'm not here to worship you tonight. I'm not here to impress you tonight. I'm here tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's him that called me. It's him that loved me. And I'm glad I'm here tonight. I pray that God would help us tonight. I preached this a couple of months ago here at the church, and then God made this, it got bigger to me here recently. And as we were studying for the service here tonight, but I want to preach tonight on commended love, on commendeth love. And I want to look first of all tonight as an introduction on the love of God. Well, I tell you, we can look through the Word of God many times. It's mentioned. We see in John 3:16, the most famous verse in the book of the Bible. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad that God, and boy, we could preach there for days and days on end, how that God so loved the world, that limitless love that God has for you and for me. We see in 1 John 4:19, the Bible says we love him because, number one, he first loved us. We love him because he loved us. Hey, we're here tonight. Thank God that the God of heaven loves you. Can you wrap that around your head? Somebody as feeble as me and as feeble as you and as unworthy as myself, that God would want to love somebody like me. I can't fathom that. I can't recollect it in my mind. How much that God loves me. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why even God would want to love me. But I love him. He didn't start loving me when I started loving him. He didn't start loving me when I got saved. He didn't start loving me when I started looking to him. No, he loved me first. Amen. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. While I kiss Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, listen, hallelujah. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, listen, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not one thing. I'm glad he loved us. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I'm telling you, We can preach, we can shout the house down when we preach on sin and when we preach on all these other things, but if we can't shout the house down for what Jesus done for us on the cross of Calvary, and we can't shout the house down because God loves us, we need to pack her up and go to the house because, hey, it was because of the love of God that he gave his son. Why did he give his son? Because we are sinners. And if God didn't love a sinner before he got, if God just loved the saved people, we never get saved. But I'm thank God that God loves sinners. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is who God is. That's just who he is. You want to know what God is? He is love. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Listen, who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee, mighty he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm glad that God loves me. I'm glad he loves me with an everlasting love. If God hadn't loved me, he wouldn't have gave his son for me. But because he loved me before he gave his son. He gave his son because he loved me. And he loves me more than we could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Well, one of my favorite songs in the hymnal is The Love of God. What a beautiful song, how it is written. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. I like this verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We can't preach, I will not do it justice tonight preaching on the love of God. We could all preach every night and every moment of this entire week and never touch the hem of the garment of the love of God. It is the love of God that loved me because he loved me while I was yet a sinner. Undeserving. Hey, even though I'm saved right now, I'm still undeserving. I've sinned enough since I've got saved to send anybody to hell but God, when I was still a sinner, loved me anyhow. Do you understand that God loves you and you don't deserve it? Well, I see a picture of the grace of God here. That the love of God is all full of the grace of God because we don't deserve it. I want to look at this one word. It really spoke to my heart. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us. That word commendeth. We see number one tonight, it means to place together. It means to bring together. It means to band together. You know, the Bible speaks of the wrath of God, and in the tribulation, the Bible uses a wine press where he has to take the wrath of God and put it in a wine press to get it in this little bitty world. But can you imagine how much bigger the love of God is than the wrath of God? Can you imagine how big it is? About, we know that he can hold the world in his hand, and he spoke the world into existence and all, how big he is. But can you imagine how much love he'd have to have for us to give his very most precious only begotten son? But the Bible says that he commendeth his love. He took all the love of God, every bit of it that he had, and he banded it together and pressed it together and put it into my heart. Can you imagine? is to place together. It's concentrated. The other day, I went into the fridge and I got a drink out and it was cranberry juice. And I thought, boy, this would be good. I went to the bed, sat down, and I took the lid off and took me a big swallow and about coughed and gagged and choked. And I said, what in the world? It's thick. And I looked at it and it said, concentrated cranberry juice. It said it was enough for four, this little bitty bottle was enough to make 45 ounces. You put that little bit in a bigger bottle and it makes more and it makes more and that makes more. And that's what he did to us. That's what his love is. It's concentrated. Hey, if he was, I tell you, it's enough to go around, I promise you, to place together. Word commendeth means to present. To present, to introduce, to set before. Look at our text here. It says that God commended his love towards us. The word towards means into or unto, expressing emotion or a direction given. Let me say it was no accident. It was no accident for him to love us. It was on purpose. The direction that he was pointing his love to us was exactly what he wanted to do. It was exactly the direction he wanted to send it. So when he took his son and he put it in this world, that was no accident. When he came into his own and his own received him not, it was no accident. It was all on purpose. Nothing that God has ever done has been an accident. Nothing. It's all on purpose. When he died on the cross, that wasn't an uh-oh, what are we going to do now? No, that was his plan. Amen. To present to us. I'm glad that it was presented to us, not just by word. I thank God for the word of God. 2,000 years ago, it was not only a word, but the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and the word hung on the old rugged cross, not to just tell us that he loves us. Well, I can tell my wife that I love her, and I can never show her any action, and no doubt she began to wonder. But when you slip them little flowers in, or that jewelry, or you love on her, and you hug on her, and you kiss on her, and you show her the affection of your heart, how much you love her, how much more it means. And boy, that's what God did on the cross of Calvary. He was loving on us and hugging on us and kissing on us to show us how much he loves us. I'm glad he showed us to present. He loves you whether you love him or not. You know that? If you're here tonight and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you never called upon the name of the Lord, let me tell you something. God loves you. If you reject him and you curse his name and you say, I hate you. I seen a thing on Facebook the other day, and there was this man. He was holding a sign that said, if Jesus comes back, let's kill him again. Do you know that God loves that man? How blasphemy that is and how awful that is, but God loves him. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loved us. Hey, if he didn't come to the good folk. He didn't come to save the spiritual folk, the good folk. Come to save sinners. You can't ever get saved until you become a sinner. What do you mean, preacher? You realize the Holy Ghost draws you and shows you that you're lost and shows you that you're unworthy. And at that point, when you get yourself or when the Holy Ghost gets you to where you can be saved and you feel like about this tall and you realize how big he is and how little you are, that's when God gets you into shape to save you. It's when we realize who we really are, how low down we really are, how sorry we really are. That's how much God loves us. That's when he saves. To present to us. Thirdly, to prove to us. Look at the word yet. And while we were yet sinners. The word yet means the existence of. It means from eternal past to forever future. While we were yet sinners. So, before the world, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 3:16 did not begin when John pinned her down. John 3:16 is eternal. The Word of God is eternal, just like God is eternal. And his plan was eternal. And yet, while we were yet not even thought of, God knew that it's in your lost state that you'd curse God. God knew that in your lost state that you'd be a drunkard. God knew that in your lost state that you'd be a drug addict. And I've even seen people that are saved by the grace of God backslide and fall back into their sin. I know many people that are not in church tonight because of pills and because of drugs and because of pain and they got hooked on it and it destroyed their life. I know preachers that are not even going to church anymore because of pills. And I'm telling you, it's sin, but you know that even in their wrong, that they even know they're of no excuse. They know that they're in the wrong. God still loves us. No, when I fall into sin, when I do wrong, God still loves me. It never weakens. It's always more and more. You know, God doesn't love me any more than you that are sitting here tonight that are lost. God's love doesn't grow because you can't grow on something that is as big as it can possibly be. How do you improve? How do you get bigger than eternal? How do you get bigger than God? God doesn't love me more now than he did 20 years ago when I got 23, when I got saved. He still loves me the same because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Proved us. You know, he loves us past and future. Thank God for that. But the word yet means even now. Even now. And tomorrow, when tomorrow is now, when tomorrow is today, he'll love me then. To prove to us, notice the plurality of it. I like the King James Bible. You? You know, people say, it confuses me when you got these eths and all these other, you know, English terms that they add to the word. But you know, they're there for a reason. Every jot and every tittle is perfect. Every period, every comma, everything that's in there is perfect, exactly where it's supposed to be. And I was curious about that eth, commendeth. I'm glad he didn't say he commended. What if he'd have said, and God had commended his love? That means it was past, and it wouldn't be now. But he said it commendeth. You know that's perfect. You know it's supposed to be commendeth. It ain't supposed to be commended. It's supposed to be commended. That's why it is what it is. You know that God means what he says when he says what he means, amen? That word eth means, on the end of the word commendeth, it means unending. It means that there was no beginning and there is no ending. It means you can't put a number on it. It means you can't put it in a box. It means you can't put it in quotations. There's no ending to it. And he loved me so far began before the past and so far past the future. And even now, he loves us, the plurality of it. Notice it means to put together as a whole. You know, we got all the love of God. Every bit of it. I know this is simple, and that's just how I am. I'm simple. My mind won't go beyond simple. My dad pastored for many years, and on his desk there at Midway when he pastored before he got sick, it had, keep it simple, stupid. And that must have rubbed up on me because that's all I can do. But I'm glad that we got all the love of God. I'm glad we got it as a whole. It is put together to us as a whole. All of his love means to empower us, to strengthen us. And lastly tonight, it's for a purpose. There's a reason. There's a reason. It means to stand with in time of trouble. It means to be faithful. You ever been in a place? Past couple years, I've had some really low lows. I've been through some things that were only nightmares to me. Actually, be worse than nightmares to me. But you know what helps me through? The love of God.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
You know what will get you in your? You know what gets you to realize who you really are? You know that's what the storms are for. Realize how big God is. And you know, I thank God for the storms, because if it wasn't for the reality of storms, I wouldn't know the reality of the bigness of God and how much He loved me. I'm glad that even though sometimes it feels like we're all alone, let me tell you something, God still loves us. And it is that love that'll help us through, and it'll help us to go on another mile to stand with. When there's a need, God loves us. When there's a longing, God's there to love us. I tell you tonight, as we're worshiping the Lord, these songs, these kids singing, but the love of God, a speck of dirt is all I am. You know, there's mud, and now it's mud, but before there's rain, there was dirt. Nobody thought nothing about it. We drove over it when we come in here. Nobody thinks nothing about it. We spit on it, we kick it around, we dig it up and throw it away, and nobody ever thinks so much about dirt. Especially a speck of dirt. You know how much that's worth? Nothing. I mean, you can buy a big truckload of dirt for not much. I've seen people trying to give it away because they didn't need it there. They're trying to give it away. But you imagine a speck, how many specks of dirt is in a dump truck? You know the value of it? You know how true that song is? A speck of dirt is all I am. Nothing worthy of the Lamb. How much God loves that speck of dirt. Can you imagine getting down in the dirt pile and picking out a speck and saying, boy, I love this so much that I'm going to give my child for it. Are we grasping a little bit how big God's love is? Boy, you take the value of that and the value of the only begotten Son of God and the difference there. I'm a math man. That's the only thing I'm good at. But the comparison between God and a speck of dirt ain't much. It's not even worth writing the numbers down on a piece of paper. The decimal will be so many zeros that it's not even worth wasting your time. I'm telling you, so many times this world has looked at me and, hey, I don't have the friends that I used to have anymore. And there's a lot of people that used to be my friend that are not my friend anymore. And they might not think much about me, but I'm telling you, even though I was so unworthy and so lonely and all these things in my life, how I deserved hell, but yet God loved me so much. I'm telling you, in my unworthy state, which is 24/7, by the way, I don't care. In my most spiritual state, I'm still unworthy. God loves us. Can you imagine if God hadn't loved us? Can you imagine? And that while we were yet sinners, the word sinner, the name sinner, means this. It means devoted to sin. It means not free from sin. It means preeminently sinful. It means especially wicked. It means all wicked men. Specifically, if men stained with certain definite vices and crimes, that's who, you know, I'm still a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. Yet God loves me anyhow. Wicked. While we were yet sinners, He said, while we were yet wicked, Christ died for us. Not in our best state, but in our worst state, Christ died for us. God's elect, God's people were sinners. We were naturally sinners, naturally born into sin because of Adam. We were polluted and guilty. We didn't have to be trained to sin. It come naturally to us. It was in our blood. We were unregenerate. We were dead in sin. We lived in it. We committed it. We were slaves unto it. We were under the power and dominion of it. And many of us, and all of us, were chief and the vilest of all sinners. And yet, God looked and said, I love that. And I want to give my son. Who is this Christ? The first mention of the word Christ is in Matthew 1:1. The birth of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, who the Old Testament prophesied of all through thousands of years that he was coming. Just to make sure tonight, I want to let you know that Christ is talking about is Jesus. Amen. We believe in Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus that saved us. It is the blood of Jesus that will atone your sins. It is the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. It is the blood of Jesus why I'm here tonight. It is the blood of Jesus why you're here tonight. Let me ask you, are you saved tonight? You say, nobody loves me. I sat by the bedside of several in hospitals, tried to take their life. You know what they told me, Brother Shane? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. And the devil gets them to believe in a lie that if they just killed themselves and just went on, that nobody would care. But let me tell you something, there's one who cares. You say the church don't care. Well, maybe they don't. The preacher don't care. Well, maybe he don't. But it really doesn't matter when we got one who does care and does love us. Preacher don't love me. He should love you. He should care. But if he don't, who cares? God loves me. Well, if we could get in that mindset that if nobody else loves me, if nobody else cares about me, I'm going to preach it because Jesus loved me. I'm going to serve him because Jesus loved me. I'm going to worship God because he loved me. You know what? If we could just worship him because he loved us, all these circumstances wouldn't get us down. We're so driven by our circumstances and directed by what our storms that come our way. We're up and down depending on we're having a good day or not. But whether you're having a good day or not, God loves you just the same. And that's enough to shout God and praise God throughout all of eternity from now until Jesus comes and then beyond and beyond to infinity and beyond. God loves us. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.